gloomy morning here in Los Angeles, my favorite kind of weather. We are going to be chatting with Sean Johnson East all about baby number three. She's very pregnant. Not totally sure when she's due, but she's definitely very pregnant with baby number three. I think her kids might be this around the same age as my kids. So she is just doing it all. I'm excited to chat with her about that and also just about intergenerational parenting. She's doing this really cool initiative and just talking all about passing things on to the next generation. I talk so much about how much I enlist the help and guidance and wisdom of my own mother, and also how I, you know, ask her to pick up my kids or take care of them and also just pass things on to them. And so she talks a lot about that as well. Just like the craziness of having toddlers when you're pregnant. It's a wild time. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How pregnant are you right now?
Oh, God. I'm so pregnant. I'm like very large.
Well, also you're so small. Like you're so tiny that just like to be pregnant, I'm sure is just like crazy exhausting for you.
Yeah. And our last baby was 10 pounds. So we have big old babies.
You have big, because your husband's big, you're like pint size, and then you have like these large children that you're birthing.
Yeah, it's fun. It is fun. We're in the final stage where it's the hardest stage, like the last few weeks, but we're making it.
I mean, it must be also, it's such a different experience. I found my second pregnancy to be so different when you have another child to run after or look after. I think your kids, how old are your kids?
Our daughter just turned 4 and our son just turned 2. So,
yeah. So I think yours are similar age spacing to mine. Mine are 3 and 1.5, but just like, I'm sure for you, especially at this phase of your pregnancy, to be running after a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old is like very different than any pregnancy before.
It's a lot. And they're both getting really clingy towards the end of the pregnancy, which I totally understand, but wanting mommy to just hold them both and like play and jump on the trampoline and run. And I'm just like, I'm so tired.
Yeah. How are you dealing with that? I mean, like, cause you're also, you know, you're working a lot, you are married, you have a lot going on, you have these 2 kids and you're also in like the home stretch of your pregnancy. Yeah. How are you managing all of that?
We're really lucky. We have a lot of help. We have the most amazing nanny, but we also, I'm an only child, and as soon as we got pregnant with our first, my parents moved across the country.
Oh my God.
About 2 minutes from us, and they're at our house every single day. And I giggle at that because being an only child, I never thought I would want my parents that close, like helping raise my kids. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we had babies, I'm like, I need you at my house every day. Like, how do I do this? How do I do that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like call my mom more now than I ever have in my entire life.
I feel the exact same way. We're like 10 minutes from my mom, and there are so many people who just talk so much about, you know, this community idea, and you really get a different understanding of it when you have children. And then when you have multiple children, it is like a total game changer to be able to call on your parents. It's a different thing to call on a friend or something than to be able to call on your family is such a unique gift to have.
It is. And I felt like with our first, I was going to like butt heads with my parents a lot on how I wanted to raise kids and like what I wanted to do. But it honestly kind of goes out the window because I'm just like, I know you love our babies probably more than us. I think sometimes they think it's their children. Mm-hmm. But you just like, you never have to worry. Grandparents are the absolute best. And when we're working full time and we've got toddlers going to different places, it's really great to be able to have them here to like help. And I can just not have to worry about anything.
Is it so different for you coming from the perspective of being an only child to be raising now almost like 3 kids? Is that wild for you?
It is very wild. I married into a family. My husband's 1 of 5. Okay. So I got to kind of see it firsthand. And I still didn't really understand it, but I had my first and totally understood the whole only child thing. Just like very tight-fisted. You're a part of their life every single second of every day. And then you have another one and it's like, oh, they have each other and they enjoy each other and they're best friends and they don't really need you as much.
Yeah.
So with everyone, it gets a little bit more chaotic, but you kind of loosen the reins, which is something I never felt in my upbringing. And it's been fun to kind of like witness and experience.
People always ask me this, as your kids get older, that you feel like you're going to do differently than how your parents raised you or similarly to how your parents raised you?
It's so hard. Now, I feel like with my first, I probably could have pointed out more specific things. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just kind of like, it's all great. It's all going to work out. I would say the thing that my parents did really similar to my husband's parents is we're kind of like a cross your fingers, hold your breath and let kids go wild type parents. Mm-hmm. We have wild kids. My son is getting a dirt bike for Christmas and he's 2. Oh. He can already ride a bike without training wheels and he's like a daredevil. And both sets of our parents kind of fostered this like wild energy with both of us and let us be wild and crazy and live on the edge. And it really paid off. And I love that. It made me feel like I was invincible. And I think it's just, that's something we'll definitely do the same.
Yeah. It's such a huge gift. You hear so much about the language of like, don't say be careful, or, you know, parents at playgrounds being very cautious of, you know, kids doing things that are crazy. It's so to be able to have that kind of swing the opposite way of just letting your kids, you know, go crazy. I mean, you also are, you know, raising like little athletes with you and your husband. It's like, of course they're so active and like energetic. Yeah. They're probably just like, you know, have the best of both of you in that.
It's absolutely terrifying. Don't get me wrong.
I'm literally holding my breath.
Yeah. Every time my son will like climb on top of something and I'm like, okay. I'm like 50 yards away and I'm like trying to power walk to him. Don't make a scene. Don't let jump. But yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's worked out so far.
Yeah. I mean, are there conversations that you're having with your kids right now about baby number 3? They must obviously, I've seen the videos of your daughter fully understands that, you know, you're having another baby, but you mentioned the kids getting clingy. And I always found that, you know, with my last pregnancy, I found that to be so beautiful. And then also like heartbreaking because you don't know how they're going to handle like this change and this adjustment. And then of course, when they're super young, they don't really understand. So are those kinds of conversations or things that you're talking to them about?
A little bit. So when we got pregnant with our second, and it was such new territory for me, our pediatrician actually had really, really good insight and tips. He kind of gave us this whole spiel one time when we went into the office and he was like, listen, if you can start from day one painting this picture like the baby is theirs and not yours, it'll help with like the jealousy. Oh. And it'll help with that feeling that kids get of being replaced. And so every conversation we have, it's like, your baby's almost here, your baby's coming, your brother, your sister. He also suggested and said, like, once the baby is here, always, like, when people come into your home to meet the baby for the first time, a lot of times people will brush off your other children and make it a rule in your household that they have to ask all the siblings if they can meet their brother or sister. And so like our kids have truly already with our conversations become the gatekeepers of this baby. And I try not to say like, oh, mommy's going to have a baby. This is my new baby. It's always like, you're going to have a brother or sister. This is exciting for you. We'll do little, like 2 or 3 really small gifts that will just show up on the front door the week before we go in, from the baby to their brother and sister. So we try to have conversations, just like making it exciting for them and less about mommy's gonna go through this massive thing.
Yeah.
But
did your first one have a hard time with the introduction of a second?
Well, we kind of got thrown into the fire. It was wonderful, except my daughter got RSV 2 days after I brought him home.
Oh, no.
So we kind of had to live through some trauma of being separated for a while and having, like, hearing my daughter cry out for mama. And just, like, that was a really rough week and a half, 2 weeks. Wow. But after that, it was wonderful. It's just, it was really rough.
Yeah, it's always like a gamble. I feel like people have different ways of preparing for babies coming. And one of my friends prepared by not having her kids go to school before the baby came, because she's like, I cannot handle any sort of illness or anything with the children and a baby. It's too much.
Yeah. We've had those conversations already, and it's just so hard with a 4 and a 2-year-old who are so active.
Yeah.
We've tried to balance, like, should we pull them? Because there's, like, gymnastics, or not gymnastics. I'm literally looking at gymnastics here. Pregnancy brain is real.
Yeah.
There's Christmas camps and stuff that they can, like, partake in during the day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do we just pull them out to be safe? But I don't know. It's such a toss-up. I'm like, I need them to go be active and have fun during the day so I can, like, get a little bit of time with the baby and resting. But I just don't know.
It'll all be great. Like, it's also winter, you know, you're indoors more. So a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to just, like, send them outside to burn off some energy. So we were talking about, you know, parents and also just, like, the importance of intergenerational parenting. And I love that this is something that's, you know, that you're kind of spreading awareness about and just talking about it being super important to you, because it's something that's really important to me. I feel like you kind of, before you have kids, you like the idea of it. And then when you have kids, you're like, I really need this as being, like, a big part of my life. So let's talk a little bit about intergenerational parenting and just, like, that being such a big thing for you and a big message you're talking about.
Yes. So actually, Johnson's Baby Students campaign called Together We Raise. And it's, I don't know if you've experienced this, but especially after my first baby, I learned how polarizing the world can be when it comes to raising kids.
Right.
Whether you, like, are nursing or bottle feeding or, like, everything is just, like, your way or the highway. And Johnson's Baby Students campaign to kind of, like, celebrate, no matter how you do it, we're all doing it together.
Right.
And we should really help each other.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just an emotional third baby pregnant woman mess these days, where I need a little bit of, like, positivity. And I love that they're just trying to spread this awareness of, like, no matter how you do it, we can all be, like, teammates and, like, help each other and support each other. Because honestly, if we just tear each other down, it makes it really hard to parent. So
it does. I mean, it totally does. And I'm sure you've experienced this, which I thought was really shocking when becoming a mom, just the feedback on social media that's unsolicited feedback of just negativity, which is why I think this is such an important message of, like, it doesn't matter what kind of baby food you use, or, you know, if you choose to use a sippy cup or a bottle or an open cup, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's all great. It's all people's own ways of choosing how to parent. And, you know, like, your kids are your own kids. So you should be able to make these decisions without being criticized. And so I love that this is, like, a big message as part of this campaign, is, like, not only the importance of, you know, passing things on to the next generation, and then, of course, enlisting help and guidance from, you know, your parents, but also just, like, the importance of letting people know, like, it's all, any way you choose to do it is great.
Yeah. I 100% agree. When we had our first kid, even our second kid, already now pregnant with a third, the unsolicited advice is wild. And after my first, I didn't know how to raise a kid. Right. I had never babysat before. I had never changed a diaper before. And all of the unsolicited, like, criticism / advice, you know, there's a fine line there, really makes you doubt your abilities as a mother and your decisions that you're making on a daily basis. But I think what's so cool about this campaign, just the idea of like, no matter how you do it, we're all doing it the best we can. After having a second and now a third, you gain this confidence of like, every decision I make on a daily basis, I've thought through, I'm trying to make the best decision for my babies and my children and my family. And whether you support that or not, it's fine. But we should all be supportive of each other and how we're doing it, because we're raising the next generation, and it's terrifying, but also really cool. And yeah, I just want more positivity.
I mean, I think the idea of having more positivity is the best thing ever. And I feel like we all crave that, especially in parenting, because those of us who parented during like the thick of COVID, also the idea of, you know, having this huge experience that you think about, you know, a lot in life before it actually happens. And then it happens and you're in a very isolating time of navigating parenting or navigating pregnancy or postpartum. So this idea that, you know, we can be doing things together, and also the importance of community is, you know, such a big part of that. But when you're talking about things like this and you're talking about, you know, no matter how you do it, it's a great way to do it, and you have that negative feedback or unsolicited advice, is there something that you do or that you do with your family or with your husband that kind of recenters you to not allow that to kind of impact your position or your view of yourself as a mother?
I think the best thing you can do as a mom is surround yourself with a community that is like your community. Mm-hmm. My husband and I have talked about this before when it comes to like making decisions for your kids or your family. It's all new territory. Like when you're dealing with illnesses or schools or daycare versus a nanny versus a stay-at-home mom or whatever it is, everything is a big decision. And the only way you can make that decision is by surrounding yourself with people that you trust. And there's a million voices and a million opinions and a million ways to perspectives in the world. And so for us, when I kind of start getting overwhelmed with, well, the internet is saying this and you're saying this, and like I'm doubting myself, I kind of go back to my small inner circle and I'm like, well, what do you think? I need your advice. I need your perspective. You're kind of my ride or dies right now and my lifelines, and I'm just going to have to like rely on you. So for us, that's like my parents, Andrew's parents, Andrew's like siblings who have 7 children, our pediatrician, my OB. It's just like, it's your small group that you have to rely on to kind of get through those decisions in life.
How do you make those decisions? Because I mean, you and your husband come from different backgrounds. He's 1 of 5, you're an only child. Yeah. Those are like very different, and you guys are raising children together. How do you, you know, make decisions or stay on the same page with one another if you're coming from different backgrounds? In marriage, I think that that's like such a fascinating process, and then throw in parenting and it's like, you know, a whole other thing.
It brings out some of your worst arguments, I'll tell you that. Most contentious arguments. I would say we just talk through things so much. And when it was just marriage, it's easier because you can kind of still live your separate perspective lives, even though you're married. With a baby, you're raising them together. So you have to find some common ground. And it comes with a lot of like outsourcing data and opinions and perspectives from our community. But then at the end of the day, we'll have a sit down conversation and be like, okay, where are we going to plant our flag here? And how are we going to like proceed? Is it going to be your way, my way, a compromised way? What are you willing to like die on a hill over? And we each kind of have our like die on a hill things that we've just like respected with each other. And we're like, okay, we're going to do this way for you and this way for me in respective categories. But it's just a lot of conversation, exhausting conversation.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I mean, I feel like you and your husband seem to have a lot of fun from what I can like see, which is, I think, such an important part. I feel like I tend to be more, you know, like serious about certain things, and my husband is like more fun and funny. And so he definitely brings like humor and lighthearted energy into a lot of things that, you know, with parenting kids can get very serious and intense. And then when you have certain things, like you're saying, that are important to you about how to raise kids, or, you know, important to your husband, being aware of those, you know, when you get pregnant for the first time, or even as they kind of come up with you having kids, I feel like that's, it's again, it's like all about the conversation, because things come up where you're like, ooh, I didn't know that was like a trigger, or that's like important to me. And then being able to have a partner that you can talk to about those things, and that also can just like, you know, maybe sometimes make a joke. My husband always does that. He'll like make a joke in really serious moments, or when I get really heated and I'm like, it's annoying, but like, thank you. It's like a whole, you know, a thing.
Yeah, that's definitely my husband. He's the goofball and the kid, the fourth kid.
Yeah.
He always tries to claim he's the disciplinarian, but no chance. No. I am 100% the more serious. Like, this is how we're doing it. And he's like, ease up a little. Yeah. It's fine. I'm like, it's not. You got to go to bed on time.
So true.
Yeah.
It's also, I feel like if you had, if your parents maybe didn't raise you that same way, or their parents didn't raise you, like, you know, schedules for kids seem to be a completely new to our generation.
Oh, yes. Thing.
So you always hear a lot of feedback about like, do they really need to take a nap today? Do they really need to go to bed on time? Yeah.
Something yes. We have those conversations, grandma to myself every day. She's like, but she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't get it. I know. We're going to do it no matter what.
Like, thank you so much for that. Yeah. But I think it's, it's, you know, being able to have these conversations with your significant other. And then also, of course, to be able to have them with your family members, and this idea of being able to also call your parents for pretty much everything. I mean, we're so blessed that we're able to do that, and that also we want to do that. I call my mom with literally everything, like the most ridiculous things that I never thought that I would need to call her for. I just, I'm constantly like, how did you do this? What did you do when we said this? Was it normal for me to be, did I also, because my two girls are very similar age difference to my sister and I.
Okay.
So I'll say, did I also not like Christina to touch my dolls? Did I feel that exact, you know, it's, but it, I feel like it happens to all of us.
Oh yeah. And that's like, me with my mom every day. I'll be like, Drew's doing this weird thing. Did I do that? Is that normal? Did you see that?
It's
so true. She's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. They always say, I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, I'm so grateful that you're spreading awareness about such an important idea of, you know, just the importance of all being on the same team, joining a community of just encouraging others to parent how they choose to parent, and supporting that, and, you know, offering advice when it's asked, and just being more positive and putting out that positive energy is so important. And you're doing it so pregnant. And I am just like in awe of the amount of energy that you have and that your whole family has. I'm like, I mean, it's incredible. So I'm so excited for you. And I can't wait to just learn and watch how you're doing it all. It's incredible.
Well, thanks. It's a second by second survival technique. That's about it.
Well, you're doing it very well. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
And you also, I will say that in a time of just like so much craziness, being able to watch you guys have so much fun together, if it's you and your husband or you and your kids, is such a breath of fresh air. And it's so fun just to see, you know, how you're doing it all, and that you have so much fun while you're doing it. So thank you for putting that out there.
We try. But it's great to talk to you. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And good luck in the home stretch of pregnancy. Get some rest.
Thank you. Yes. I'll go take a nap now.
Go take a nap, because you have so much free time.
So much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good day.